two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Feminasty Erin Gibson.
And I'm homosensual Brian Safi.
And we're the co-hosts of the Attitudes Podcast,
where we talk about LGBT plus issues, gender issues, and pop culture.
Probably with much less respect than they deserve.
Look, it's a wild world, and we want to help you laugh at it. Plus, we discuss everything going on in our lives.
Like, what do you do when your husband accidentally starts a fire in a dumpster?
And the best armpit slapping techniques to get rid of the bags under your eyes. Thanks for the advice, Mom.
And of course, how to spin a wig around to achieve a brand new look.
Ah, stunning. So if you're a fan of high heel shoe chairs or have a crippling fear of hot air balloons, but also believe in social justice, then this show's for you.
Listen to Attitudes anywhere you get your podcasts.
Lemonada. I think the only time we didn't room together was one semester of sophomore year.
Yeah, that was spring.
One semester of sophomore year and then all of junior year. But like back to senior year, we were roommates again. We were literally like joined at the hip together.
It was very natural. We vibed off with each other well. We just understood each other. It's kind of like we didn't have to speak or really do anything about words or set boundaries. We just like knew, you know, he's my little pookie.
There was one time I can absolutely remember in college during our senior year when like a guy came over from off campus and I really wanted to fuck. And I don't think Christian caught that I wanted him out.
Yeah, I was so oblivious.
And I was a bit frustrated because, like, I didn't want to pull up my phone and text him in front of the guy. But, like, it took way longer than it usually did for Christian to understand. I was like, would you get the fuck out? But eventually he did. Eventually he did. Hi, I'm Alfonso.
And I'm Christian.
We've been best friends for 10 years.
And you're listening to Good Sex.
And this is Good Sex. I feel like I ate that.
Alfonso is probably the first person that I came out to, like, personally. I knew that he knew before I came out. I feel like living with me, you know, he probably, like, picked it up at some point. But, like, me coming out to him was probably... It just gave me, like a safe space almost. I felt like he would not judge me at all or even judge the fact that I've been in the closet for like literally I came out our senior year of college to our friends, but I was gay a long way before that. Like I just knew about that about myself.
And then when the conversation did happen, I think it was after a hookup. I can't even remember exactly what, but it just came out and then like we were just talking about it. Like, okay, how was it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, was it good? And then he was like, yeah, it was good. And it was very natural like that. Our friendship has progressed through those deep conversations, especially like that, like those pivotal moments in our lives. But it felt very organic. It was a very smooth, like, incline. So, Chris, Have you gotten any feedback from partners about your performance? And obviously, I want to know. What was the best of them? What was the worst of them? Give me a little bit of razzle-dazzle if you can.
Well, I have stories of both. So probably let's start with me, I guess, topping, because that's what I really had more experience with when I first was coming out. I had pretty great reviews, honestly. People were hitting me back up to come back and do it again. Like, hey, do you want to fuck? Hey, are you free? And I was like, or the case may be. I've had also situations where I feel like in the beginning when I was trying to bottom more, I couldn't take dick. I just couldn't. It hurt too much. And I didn't really want to do it. And I would kind of be told like, oh, you know, don't hit me up if you can't take dick. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying out, man.
Right.
Like I've gotten like situations like that. But feedback for performance, I mean, I guess I've been told I'm like super passionate because I do love hot and I do love heavy in the moment. Mm-hmm. But like in terms of like, yeah, I really like your stroke, I don't think I've actually ever been told that, like, in the sense. But I feel like good feedback is like, hey, if you keep hitting me up, I guess I'm doing something right. Alfonso, have you ever been put into a sexual situation that made you feel uncomfortable? And how did you handle that situation?
Yes, I was like kind of seeing an upperclassman. Mm-hmm. He was a senior at the time, you know, very polished and well-decorated and accomplished. He was very forward about, you know, wanting to hook up with me. And I think I took that interest and I just went along with it. So it came down to the point where like, he came over very late. And it was just like, you know those memes where they say like what I ordered versus what I got?
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of one of those situations. Like, I guess in my head, I cooked up this fantasy that like, okay, this really, you know, distinguished senior is coming to my room and we're about to get a pop in, like we're about to fuck. And so he came over, but like he came over and he was just super drunk. I think it just came down to, you know, body language and me not necessarily voicing my no's directly, although that is never really an excuse for somebody being forceful onto you. I think body language is absolutely important, and the things that I don't say are just as important as what I do, and just being able to read a situation. He eventually got the point, but like that was the most uncomfortable for me that I had to tell myself in the moment, and then also after many, many times that like I need to be more assertive with my disinterest and that it's okay to be disinterested in the moment. And just because I invited him over and just because, you know what I mean, the conversation was mutual and the feeling was mutual about wanting to have sex and wanting to be physical. Like, if that goes away, it's totally fine. And it's okay to express that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're safe from that.
I have a question. What's something that you do that you think I'd never do? I feel like I know the answer to that, but I want to see if you if you would say it.
I feel like it's the orgy thing. Like, I think I've definitely been a part of like a 15, 20 person orgy once, and that was a lot of work.
Oh my God, for real? What?
I didn't know. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot going on, and it was really hot in that fucking room, let me tell you.
How the hell did you get into that situation?
At first, I thought it was just like, you know, people just hanging out, and people were like meeting, they were drinking, there was like some music playing. But that slowly like shifted, and I was nervous at first, mm-hmm. but I just like went with it. The guy just started kissing me, and then the rest is pretty much history.
Oh my God, a 15 person orgy, 15, 20.
Yeah, I counted. There was definitely like 15, almost closer to 20 people.
Oh my God.
And I fucked, I think, just I did some interaction with at least each member.
Damn.
It was a very hot time.
You know what it is? You know why I can't do that? How the fuck am I going to be the center of attention with 15, 20 people? You would probably have to help me prepare emotionally for at least a month before something like that. I just don't see myself doing it. Doesn't mean I'm not a freaky bitch, because I am. You know this. But no, yeah, it's... Damn, good job.
What would you do that you think I wouldn't do?
I feel like you're not a foot person.
I am a foot person.
Really?
Yeah.
In what sense?
I'm not like crazy. Like, I don't want you to shove your foot in my ass. I don't want to like, you know, put your whole foot in my mouth. I'm not that crazy. But I do like rubbing on your feet. I do like nice feet. Not necessarily like getting my feet played with, although I feel like I have nice feet too. But yeah,
I'm gagged.
Yeah, no, I am very much into that. And I feel like I learned this more when this guy I was hooking up with, he wanted me to, like, you know, we're like doing doggy style. He wanted me to put my foot in his, like, on his face while he was like face down on the bed. I was like,
oh,
I'm not
hell
gonna do that.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I caught a fucking Charlie horse, bro. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh wow.
Hi there. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another, and we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oof, okay, this is kind of a loaded one. This is something that I kind of always thought about. I have to say, probably soon after we graduated and after, like, senior year for us. But you remember when we had, like, that slight sexual encounter in our room, like, when we were still rooming? This happened, I think, like, once or twice kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have ever, like, pursue that more if I had came out earlier and we weren't, like, in our senior year? Like, did you like me throughout our college years?
I won't say that it hasn't been across my mind, but I think because I was really more so prioritizing your comfortability, I didn't even allow myself to be like, maybe if I tried something, or maybe if, you know, maybe if he indicates a little bit more that he likes guys, then maybe I can come on to him. It wasn't until you were in that state of comfortability, and then there was that lingering tension between the both of us, because I'm very much a consent. Like, I'm all about consent. Yes. Even if we consent to doing some wild and crazy fucking shit, like, I want to know that you're into it, because that's what makes it hot to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was also necessary in a sense. Mm-hmm. Necessary in a sense, but, like, kind of inevitable, because I was super comfortable around you. I was super comfortable. Like, we were in our underwear, like, around each other. It was just, yeah, it was, like, kind of bound to happen. I kind of want to flip that question on you.
So I asked this. Okay, so no. I asked that because, okay, like, you know, a whole sense of, like, I've been seeing recently on Twitter, not really on Twitter, but, like, on social media, the whole thing is, like, oh, can gays be friends without having, like, necessarily need to fuck? And I've always, like, thought of that as, like, besides, like, you, I'm trying to think, like, besides, like, really you, any, like, real close, like, friend of mine that's gay, I don't really have none besides you. And you were, like, the one that we did have, like, that quick, brief encounter a couple of times in college. And I feel like that was just more or less, like, I always liked you and loved you, like, as a person. And in my head, I kind of always wanted to see if it could be more. It's like, is this what gay love is? You know, someone that just, like, came out. Is this what this is? Like, this is someone that I've known for years. I came out to him. I think he knows me more than a lot of good bunch of my own family and, like, other friends know me.
Yeah.
I feel like I agree it was bound to happen, but for us to see that we are just pretty much, like, more like friends, whatever the case may be, but we were still comfortable to go through that experience. Like, okay, we did it. We tried. It wasn't really there, you know?
Right. Ooh, Chris. My question to you, is emotional or spiritual intimacy involved in any of your casual encounters?
I would say pretty much a lot, if not all, of my casual encounters are very emotional. It's just the energy I give. Because if there's one thing about me, is that I aim to please in bed. It's not really all about me. I get off on getting the other person off. And I feel like I reciprocate more emotional energy than spiritual. Because spiritual, I feel like if you get that side of me, I would have to have met you at least twice already. Because I'm also not really a cuddles person like that after. That's like a very different level of intimacy for me that I kind of reserve more for a consistent like friends with benefits than just a regular casual hookup, unless we just really vibe like very well off the bat, which has happened, but very handful of times. Oof. So.
Not oof. Oh my God. I have to stretch.
You know me. After your last big breakup, how did that affect you and your approach to men, and how do you open up to other men now?
Ooh, okay. After my last big breakup, which, you know, that was a couple years back, like 2 years back, that was transformative in that I went into that relationship being very much super open to kind of anyone. And I didn't have too much of a guard. I was very aware of people having, you know, not so good intentions and people not necessarily doing right by you once they do acquire or obtain your companionship. But yeah, I went into the beginning of the year meeting this person who was super intense in his approach. And I don't know, I found that very endearing. And there were a lot of red flags in the beginning of that that I willfully ignored. Like during that relationship, I was diagnosed with HIV. I had like really severe depression. So coming out of that relationship was a huge like redemptive arc for me because I felt like the experience broke me so much that I didn't really have any other choice but to like start rewiring my mind around dating, rewiring my mind around like how I see the world, how I see personal relationships, and then how I viewed men. I just didn't trust them, and I was comfortable not trusting them because I felt like if I had to flip my approach to dating on its head to protect myself, so be it. I already saw the ramifications of being so willy-nilly with my time and energy and my love.
I just wanted to, like, I guess, like, play off of that and, like, the last big breakup. So, like, I've only ever been in one relationship with a man. And it just taught me how I can open up more to people. And I just need to, like, date because I don't really know how to date. I feel like a lot of people don't really know how to, like, date before. It's, like, especially gay community is just, like, very, like, you fuck before you even know their name at times. And I'm guilty of that. it just like, taught me a lot, I guess, to open myself more while I was, I guess, going through that breakup. And then that's when, like, I started hoeing around, not really caring for myself or having, like, protected sex. And, you know, essentially what ended up coming out with that, which is funny that it happened to you also, but I guess me contracting HIV as well later on, having that like big wake-up call kind of like gave me a newfound sense of like renewed for my own life and how I view myself, but then also like the standard of people that I want to associate myself with.
Did you feel supported enough during those first couple months?
You did a lot more than you knew for me at the time, honestly. I'm like more open about it. I'm just like accepting about it. It's like, it is what it is. I am doing what I can to keep myself healthy and not give this to anyone else. And that's all I can trust. I can only trust myself at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it was rough, but it's times like that that I give true like thanks that I have someone like you in my life.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how much guidance I could provide being in the situation myself, just a few months fresher. But I'm glad. I don't even think we talked about it in that sense ever. So what better time than now, right? You know, not to get too emotional because I feel like this is, you know, I'm more emotional. But like we're trucking along. So if I had a glass, I would raise it to you.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening
to Good Sex.
Good Sex is a Lemonada Media original. This show is produced by Claire Jones and Matthew Simonson. Our supervising producer is Jorge Olivares, with Jackie Danziger as our story editor. Executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova-Kramer. Music is by Dan Molad, with additional music from APM Music. Sound design is by Matthew Simonson and L. Rinaldi. If you like Good Sex, the show, not you know. Why don't you rate and review us? Listen and follow for new episodes each week, wherever you're listening right now. And if you want more good sex, subscribe to Lemonada Premium only on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere, and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people, and we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.